Welcome to a 10-minute, and this one will probably be a 10-minute game misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about game, what was this, three? I'm losing
three.
Track now. Game three, Eastern Conference Final, Lightning, Islanders. But before we get into that, we wanted to remind you, you know, we pretty much drop episodes now that they're playing in prime time the next day. So make sure you hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And also leave us a review and a rating. We'd love to hear what you have to think about the show. And also you can hit us up on Twitter and on Facebook, Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And we'll get into a couple shout outs that we have from Facebook and Twitter shortly at the end of the show. But also if you've missed any episodes, you can check out Game Miz with a Z Conduct.com. That's GameMizConduct.com to catch up on any of our previous episodes. I think we have every episode since season four up there, maybe five. And including one that we did a couple weeks ago with the assistant athletic trainer Mike Poirier with the Tampa Bay Lightning. He talked to us live from the Toronto bubble, so it was really interesting to hear what he had to say, how they had to prepare, and what life was like in the bubble for the team. So now that we've gotten the business out of the way, let's talk game three, Islanders Lightning. Lightning were up in the series 2-0. One game, a blowout. Second game, they probably shouldn't have won, but they won anyway in a very dramatic fashion with a goal 7 seconds before it ended. And we were wondering what kind of Islanders team we were going to see, either one that's defeated because they can either lay an egg or play really hard or better than the other team and still lose. Or are we going to see a team that wants revenge and wants, you know, is determined to win a game? And I think we saw the latter last night for sure.
Yeah, I think they played pretty. I think the Islanders played pretty well. What I did notice that I found very interesting, and I texted my coworker Jeff about, was they had switched their game plan to play Lightning hockey.
Yes.
They were a little faster.
Yep.
They weren't as heavy-bodied as they were in game two. It was kind of like, okay, we're gonna now play the Lightning's game.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, this is, you know, interesting. Yeah. Because I don't know how many teams actually want to go toe-to-toe with the Lightning when it comes to their gameplay. But without Braden Point, it can be done.
Right.
And, you know, I think we'd be remiss to say, without Point and without Killorn, it is a different team.
Yes.
And I think I saw a lot of chatter about, well, I don't think it's that big of a deal that we lost Killorn. And I thought, well, see, here's the thing. He's a creator.
Yeah.
He creates a lot. He controls a lot of the play. When he's on the ice, you'll see him looking. What am I, you know, that's what he does.
And isn't he a power play guy too? Like we lost two power play guys and two penalty killer guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and Point is Point.
Yeah. So,
I mean, this guy could possibly win the Conn Smythe. That's how he's playing. So it is really tough to lose those guys. And of course we haven't had Stamkos through the entirety of the playoffs.
Right.
So they're down to, they put in Carter Verhaeghe and Mitchell Stevens.
It took a little bit for them to get, for the team and them to get comfortable. You could see midway through the game, like things were starting to gel again because it had been a while since those guys had been in the lineup. So you were starting to see it gel about midway through the game. Was it Verhaeghe who was like 80% in the face-off circle, I think it was?
Yeah, he was very – I thought he looked pretty good.
Yeah, he looked pretty – so, you know, you got to give the guys time. Like we were talking about, you know, if Steven Stamkos comes back at any point in the series, is that a good thing? Because it takes guys time to get back up to the speed of the game. And for the team around them to kind of gel around them, and because they're different players, like it's very next man up and plug and play, but it still takes a little bit of time for them to get their feet under them and for the team to like make those adjustments because they've been so used to playing with those other guys. So let's just, you know, first of all, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, kudos to the Islanders for trying to figure out that we're going to play their style of hockey and even think that they can play their style of hockey, because it's very specific to the Lightning and it takes a very skilled team to be able to execute kind of like the game plan of the Lightning. So kudos to them. Kudos to the coaching staff for recognizing that. I mean, we've been talking about how Barry Trotz is one of the best coaches in the world. And I think we saw that last night, the adjustments that they were able to make. I do think the Lightning came out strong as well. There wasn't a lot of times that I was disappointed in their play. I think the Islanders got some lucky breaks.
Yep.
I don't know if I was so much happy with the officiating last night. I think
I know for a fact I saw a cross check on one of the Lightning players.
Yeah.
That it was probably midway through the second period. And I can't remember because, so, you know, you're like, hey, wait a minute. That's a cross check. I also will say that I think it was McDonough that got the hooking penalty.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think it was McDonough that got the hooking penalty. I can look it up when I stop babbling, but I will, but here's the thing. His stick was being held.
Yeah.
His stick was being held, and the hooking was a result of the guy holding his stick. And I'm like, hey, he's holding his stick. Wait a minute. How did he get hooking for that? Yeah. So some of it was weird.
There was also a fight, and both guys got 2 minutes.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay.
So it was a 4-on-4. So
yeah.
I've been a fan of the officiating. Last game, I was a little, this game, I was a little more. The whole thing with Vassie's pad coming loose and not stopping play. The reason that the on-air commentators gave was because if his helmet's not off, they don't have to stop play. But I thought that that was kind of almost the same as like a goaltender interference call where they would call back the goal a little bit.
Wasn't in game two, didn't Pat Maroon get pushed into the net and
they stopped play.
They moved and he could have gotten up. He was fine.
Well, no,
he
the net
hurt.
Didn't move.
The net didn't move.
And they were like, why did you guys stop play?
Yeah.
Like, they were questioning that. So I don't know if this was a make good for that or what, but the commentators on the air were saying that they don't have to stop play if his mask isn't off. And I'm like, well, it kind of hinders him from being able to make a stop. I thought Vassie readjusted well enough when he realized that they weren't going to stop play. I think that was just a great shot by the Islanders. And you know what? I love Eddie O. I can't say I'm that big of a fan of the other two guys that are calling the series. And I don't like to be one of those people who are like, well, they want the New York market to be in the final, but the last two games, I mean, I know the Lightning probably haven't played their best game these last two games, but I feel like now it's like the Lightning are like the redheaded stepchild of the league almost.
Yeah.
And I can say that cause I am one. So I am a redheaded stepchild. So don't send your angry tweets. But I kind of feel like that's how it's being presented on the national call a little bit because I don't like to be one of those guys where like they have it out for the Lightning and they don't like them, blah, 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 blah. But you know, for TV ratings, I think probably they'd love to have like the New York market represented. Cause when you look at the West, you've got Dallas and you've got Vegas. They're not necessarily giant metropolises.
Well, Dallas is, as far as hockey.
But, yeah. So I'm just putting that out there. So I'm kind of having to like not listen to the commentators and just watch.
I'll be honest. I didn't listen to one word they said in game three. I just don't want to. I'll just watch it. I understand how the game works. I understand who these people are.
Yeah.
I will say that the one thing I don't think, and I have a follow-up to this comment.
Okay.
I don't think it was Vasilevsky's best game.
No, I don't either.
He was moving a little slowly out there. His reflexes weren't as crisp and cat-like as they normally were. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Netminders have off games. And and it's okay.
He's played every
their
game.
Butts.
Yeah.
A lot.
He's
so
played every
game. I was totally like, you know what? Sometimes you have an off game.
Well, and I just think that it was like not a domino effect, but when you're out Killorn, which I know you and I kind of disagreed on whether he was going to get the extra disciplinary action. And I don't know if we want to get into the league's explanation of why he got it or not.
I'd rather not.
But I know you and I kind of call it BS, and I think Eric Erlandson had retweeted or had an interesting tweet about it. So if you want to go back and look at his tweet, we kind of agree with what's being said there. But you have Alex Killorn out, you have Braden Point out, and then your goaltender has an off night. Now, I thought the defense has stepped up so much in the last two games. I mean, they're solid anyway, but in the last two games, I thought they've played really well. I thought this was Mikhail Sergachev's best game.
Yeah.
I think he's just matured and grown so much. I know early in the bubble experience, you were kind of like, I'm watching you. But I think he's really matured. He's really kind of grown into his own. He was good before, but it's like you're just seeing the growth. And, you know, I know I'm saying I'm not liking the national call, but I really enjoy watching Sean Avery. Because he posted on his Insta stories last night. He's like, this is what I'm starting to care too much about a team. I really like the Lightning and I can't watch the game basically without, you know, like getting nervous. He's like, cause I'm nervous now, you know, kind of thing. But he's a big fan of Sergachev. He was actually screenshotting and reposting, I guess, direct messages that he had with the big rig, Pat Maroon and Sergachev. And so if you want to go back and look, Sean Avery is not a sponsor of this podcast. We are not getting any money from Sean Avery. And I know people have thoughts about Sean Avery, but I just like his unfiltered, you know, kind of perspective on what he's seeing. So go check him out. But yeah, Sergey. Coochie and Sergey.
Did you, I don't know if probably people heard this or not, probably. So the Selkie was handed out.
Yes.
And
the Lady Bing.
Anthony Cirelli finished fourth in voting.
And the Lady Bing, really?
No. In the Selkie.
In the Selkie, sorry, yes.
Yeah. Anthony Cirelli. I think Blake Coleman was 20th. Now that's mainly before he became a Tampa Bay Lightning player.
Right. Yeah.
Just to put that out there. Cause he was only with us for a little bit. Remember he had a little bit of an injury kind of, he was hurt a little bit. So it wasn't really, you know, but worth it. And somebody else got like voted 22nd, but here's the thing. Andre Palat was nowhere to be found. And I saw on Twitter, Lightning Twitter was a little irritated, not Lightning, the Tampa Bay Lightning, but you know, Lightning Twitter as a collective was pretty much like, so where's Palat in this?
Yeah.
And Eric Erlandson's like, yeah, beats me. It's just interesting because we see this guy a lot.
Yeah.
And he's probably the best defensive forward we have.
Yeah.
And for him not to even – now, listen, Anthony Cirelli is a heck of a player, and he has played beautifully in games 1, 2, and 3. Last night I thought, buddy, you are the star of this show.
Yeah.
As far as forwards go, he was winning faceoffs. He's really playing so well. We're really seeing him come into his own.
Mm-hmm.
And just throwing out there, I thought the whole Palat didn't.
Look, I think sometimes there are players that are just so good and who don't cause a lot of attention, just like I was saying about defensemen in the last podcast, where if I don't see a defenseman, that means they're doing their job and I'm not yelling at them because they're missing an assignment or something. So I think a lot of times, a lot of these offensive defensemen, is that what the Selkie is? Like most defensive forward. I think a lot of times the ones who are really, really, really good fly under the radar.
I don't think Ryan Callahan ever won it.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I think there are a lot of them now in the league too. Like it's something, look, 10, 15 years ago, who was the one guy who won all of those? Was it guy for the
Datsyuk?
Datsyuk for the Red Wings.
Yeah, Pavel Datsyuk.
That was something that was not normally preached in the league. The whole you play a two-way game thing. That wasn't a big thing 10 years ago in the league. You know, you were a forward. You were trying to score. Let the defenseman, you know, worry about stopping, you know, the other team from scoring.
Now, it's common.
It's common. It's a copycat league. Everybody's got everybody on the, you know, the whole Lightning team basically plays that way.
Oh yeah.
You know, so I don't think it's as much as a specialty anymore. I think it's just the way players are expected to play no matter who you play for. So I think a lot of the really good ones maybe fly under the radar. And, you know, Andre Palat's not a flashy guy. He doesn't score a lot of goals either. So it's interesting. Well, in the regular season, when they were voting on this. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So, and then the Lady Bing went to Nathan MacKinnon. And then we find out later today who the GM of the year is. So we'll find out if Julian Brisebois wins that. But, yeah, I mean, last night on the broadcast, Marty St. Louis, who won the Lady Bing three times, presented the award to Nathan MacKinnon, which was kind of cool. So
that's nice.
And he's going white. Like, it looked like his hair was white on the side and gray. I was like, whoa. We normally wouldn't see Marty without his helmet on, so it's all a new look. But
yeah.
The
other thing that I did want to mention is because we had spoken about the ice and the boards.
Oh yeah.
And I thought the Lightning really had it figured out last night. They were the puck with, you know, especially Hedman, because he's got a pretty nasty rocket of a pass. And I really noticed that they seemed to, okay, now we get it. Now we understand how the boards work. The ice I thought looked pretty good.
Yeah.
There was one guy on the Islanders, and I don't know who it was. Sorry, probably maybe one of the 1950 boy band trio members. But one of them, and if you didn't catch the last show, that's Bailey, Martin, and Nelson. I don't know, something about those names. He kept falling for no reason, and it was him through most of the game, and I was like, is there something wrong with this guy? Like, I don't know, it was weird. The puck wasn't bouncing strangely off the boards the way it was in game two, and I think they kind of started figuring out how the boards work, because they do, you know, the dump and chase. And when you do that and you're not used to the ice and the boards, it can kind of come back and bite you a little bit.
Yep.
Because you don't know where the puck's going to end up.
Yep.
But I thought they had that under control last night. They also won the faceoff.
Yeah.
Pretty handedly. 58%. They won 58% of them. We know they, you know, had two more shots. They had 37 shots. They scored the power play.
Their penalty kill was
62 hits.
Holy
by the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Okay.
And then, almost seems like it's wrong.
Yeah. And I thought our penalty kill was solid. Oh,
yeah.
So we fixed our special teams. and like I said, I don't think the team played poorly. And this is maybe had we added in Alex Killorn and or Brayden Point, this would have been more of the game that I was expecting to see from most of the series. So I will be excited to see Alex Killorn back in the lineup on, what is it, Sunday?
Yeah.
And we just need to wait and see about Brayden Point. I don't know. Like, we really don't have any update on him to know how good or bad he is.
I saw something that he actually skated.
Oh, that's
yesterday.
Good news.
He was skating yesterday, so it sounds like it was a game time decision. You're up 2-0, and if you have, you know, you're one of your stars, and he's kind of not 100%, maybe he's 90%. You rest him.
Yeah,
you rest him. The game's the series isn't on the line.
I know, but
you give him an extra 2 days.
But if you're up 2-0, like, do you even give the other team a chance to see the light of day? Like, that's my only question. You know, but I think, I don't know.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I'm kind of up in the air at this point because I have no idea what Islanders team we're going to see. I kind of at this point know what kind of Lightning team we're going to see, which is, I feel like we've been saying that about the Lightning for the last four seasons. It's like, we're not really sure which Lightning team we're going to see tonight, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, I think this next, and I know I said game three is going to kind of tell us what we're going to see in the series, but I don't know. I think it's really anybody's series, even though we're up 2-1.
I agree. But I do think that at this point in the playoffs, even though it's a weird playoffs, it's a bubble playoffs, even it's still the playoffs. At this point, when you reach the conference finals, John Cooper said it, your stars have to come out. Yeah. And we saw Hedman do it in game two. We saw obviously Cucci do it in game two with the game winner. When you don't have one of your, you know, brightest stars and then another star, you know, a secondary star, Kalorn's played what he's a playoff guy. I mean, he actually had a really good season, but it hurts. And right now in the conference finals, you need everyone.
Yeah.
And so when you don't have two very large pieces of your offense, you know, they're both, you know, these are two top six forwards that were out. It does hurt a little bit. So I'm disappointed in the W. I'm not disappointed with the team.
Right. And I'm actually kind of, I was
the L. I don't know my letters. L.
Yeah. I was kind of, it was interesting to me that he went with the 11-7 with that, still with having those two guys out. And I was interested to see Varlamov in net for the other team. I thought they were going to start Greiss, but I guess you start. I don't know.
I don't know if you would, but coming up with another forward when you're down two of your top six, that would have been a disaster. You have seven really good defensemen that are all playing really well. Luke Shen had that really crazy 100 and whatever mile an hour shot.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that thing will take somebody's noggin off.
Yeah.
So I think all seven defensemen are playing so well.
So you don't and their mess rotation. With that.
Yeah, and it's and it, up until last night, the 11-7, they won every
it's
game.
Worked. Yeah.
So who do you take out? Do you take out Luke Shen to put in who?
Yeah. I'm just glad. I'm just glad I don't have to make those decisions.
Pointer's back. We know Kalorn will be.
Yep. Yep. And Maroon almost had a goal last night. Again, he's knocking on the door. He's going to get one here. And wasn't he the one who had the big goal in the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference final last year against Dallas to get them into the final in overtime for St. Louis. So he's a clutch guy. So don't be surprised if he,
my son has a funny joke for you about Patty Maroon.
All right. What is it? Go.
Did you know? Well, it's now I gave it away. It's a joke. Did you know it's against the law in St. Louis to punch Patty Maroon in the face?
Oh, it is.
I mean, it's against the law to punch anybody in the face. But he had me going for like a good, like, I was like, really?
I was like, wow.
Wow. Like, really? They had a whole, don't punch Pat Maroon in the face. He's like, Mom, you can't punch anybody in the face. I was like, oh, you stinker.
Those kids these days, they can get you.
But I mean, I like fell for it for a second. I was like, really?
Well, I did too. I was like, oh yeah. speaking of Pat Maroon, it was something I wasn't aware of. And they mentioned it last night in the game. So Wednesday night, actually Thursday morning, I guess, Coach John Cooper and Pat Maroon found out that a very close friend of theirs had passed away in a car accident.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And her name was Kim Cannon. She worked with John Cooper when he left his law practice to work with the Texarkana Bandits and St. Louis Bandits of the North American Junior League. She came in when she was 19, was selling merchandise for the team out of a barn, and really was John Cooper's right hand with the team, and ended up being like the hockey operations leader when they moved to St. Like he brought her to St. Louis when they moved, and basically helped him where he could handle the hockey stuff and she handled everything else, like setting up billet families and, you know, any kind of thing that had to do with the hockey operations. And so Pat Maroon played for the St. Louis Bandits too. And there are a bunch of other players that played for one of those teams. And yeah, she was just 35 years old and passed away Wednesday night in a car accident. So like really a couple hours before that big win, Nikita Kucherov scoring 7 seconds into the goal, into the before the game was over, you know, they lost this friend and they found out Thursday morning. And so there's a really nice article about it. Because much of the hockey world has never heard of this person, but really was instrumental in helping John Cooper and Pat Maroon reach the NHL. And so it's si.com on the hockey news page. Pat Maroon had RIP Kim Cooper. Kim Cannon, RIP Kim Cannon on his stick last night, written on his stick last night. So, yeah, really interesting, sweet article. And, our thoughts and prayers go out to, Kim Cannon's family. Cause you know, and even John Cooper said, you know, if we were to win the Stanley Cup, she'd be the first one who'd be drinking out of that cup. So very close friend of theirs. And, yeah, it's really sad. I didn't mean to bring the podcast down, but it was something they mentioned on the broadcast that I didn't know the story. So I had to Google it. And you know, it just shows you how close knit of a, community, the hockey community is. I mean, we saw it with, the bus crash that happened a couple of years ago with the the Broncos team? And yeah, so, you know, all this crazy stuff is going on and, you know, you just got to remember people are dealing with other things in their lives, you know, and they were talking about, I was listening to the Missing Curfew podcast that has Shane O'Brien, Scotty Upshaw, and, one of the Hayes boys on it. And, Connolly, the actor, Kevin Connolly, the actor. So, Shane O'Brien, who was one of my favorite players when he played with the Lightning, just because he's a character. It's a really interesting podcast. They've only had a couple episodes, but you can find it on Apple Podcasts. And they were talking about, you know, trying to figure out a way to bring these players' families in, you know, maybe for the final round, like so that they can watch. Like, you've got to think about all these other things that these professional athletes are dealing with. They haven't seen their families in forever. And I know we've kind of said on the podcast before, when they're in the playoffs, they don't really see their families either, but they get to go home and sleep in their own bed some nights after a tough win or a tough loss. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've just kind of been away for almost 2 months and not able to see their, you know, thank God for technology. Cause you know, I haven't seen you since February or March, but I get to see you on camera when we record these podcasts. So like technology is great and everything, but just remember, you know, and I know these guys get paid a lot of money to play a sport, but they're human. And so just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in people's lives that we have no idea about. And that goes for anybody. So I don't know where I'm going with this, but it kind of just hit me last night when they were talking about it.
And yeah.
So they were playing with heavy hearts last night, but, you know, hopefully they can pull out a win.
I think they're going to pull out a win. I think game four, first of all, I know we're running super over, like, this will be 10 minutes.
Fine.
Yeah.
No, it won't. Fine.
I do think, and this will be my last actual whatever, on game four. It's early, y'all, on a Saturday. I feel like Alex Killorn, because we don't know him personally. I mean, we did see him that one time at that poor Greenfields.
Oh, yeah.
When he was with his dad. I will say that, but we know he's a bright guy.
Yeah.
He's a mature guy. We know he's a responsible guy. Yep. I guarantee you he's going to come out of the gates in game four and play like, sorry guys. Sorry boys. Because I just get the feeling that he was disappointed
in himself.
More the fact that he wasn't there for the team.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we're going to see Killer
come out and kill it. Yeah.
I do. And hopefully Braden Point is back. The fact that it was just, you know, one of those fleeting social media things. I don't know. I didn't look up what, you know, Joe Smith or Brian Burns, you know, had to say about it. But I did see that Braden Point did skate. Friday morning. So that's a good sign. But I have complete faith in this team. They're not going to let the Islanders, I think, take this from them. I think last year when they went, I hate to bring this up again. I really do. It's like beating a dead horse. But when they went down 2-0 to Columbus, you've kind of felt all the air sucked out of them.
Yeah.
This team understands, like, you know, game 2 was rough and we faced a lot of adversity and we came out on top. Game 3, we had the same adversity, except we actually had two extra forward, you know, we had two forwards back. But you know what? We're better than them. And we need to just get back to our game and just win. We have a lot of guys playing really well.
Yeah. And you know what? It was interesting, you know, and since you brought up last season, one of the things that we said, because they were winning so many games in the regular season last season, was this team didn't face any adversity. And so when they got the adversity, they didn't know how to adjust. Mm-hmm. Well, this team has faced a lot of adversity, even from entering the bubble and not having Steven Stamkos on their roster at that point. And even just entering the bubble, you know, there's been adversity. Yeah. And even in the regular season, you know, they weren't winning every game. They were having a great season, but, you know, they weren't winning every game so dominantly like they had the season before. So that's the one good thing. They've faced challenges since being in the bubble and the season, and they've found ways to adjust and to still pull out a win. So your stars have to be your stars. Everybody's got to chip in, and, you know, Vassy's got to be, you know, 100% on his game, and we'll see what happens. But like we said, the last two games, we haven't been upset with their play. You know, this one, they just, and it's so funny. It's like they lost 5-3. It wasn't really 5-3. It was 4-3. Uh-huh. They got an empty
and we even say that when we, yeah, when the Lightning get empty netters, we're like, I mean, nah.
Yeah. They lost by a goal. Basically. Yeah. Cause the empty netter came within like 2 minutes before the game was over. So.
Anyway. Oh, it was, yeah. The last minute of the game. It was like 33 seconds, I think. So, yeah. Or whatever it was. Yeah.
It was the end of the game. So anyway, I see good things. I'm not worried yet. I'm not hitting the panic button. So we'll see what happens.
Not at all.
And so what are you going to watch on Sunday, Dory? Because the Lightning play at 3 and then the Bucks, the first time we're going to see Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski in a Buccaneers uniform in a NFL game will be starting at 4:30 on Sunday. What are you going to watch?
So do you want to know the truth or do you want me to give the politically correct answer?
I want to know both.
So I will be watching the Bears Lions play at 1.
Oh, nice.
And then I'll be watching the Lightning, and that's it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll be watching the Lightning, but I will flip over to the Bucks Saints game to see like the first play. Just because
I'm sure my son's going to, you know, he's going to be like, I have to see what's going on with Tommy.
Right.
But
I'm more of what's going on with Gronky, but when the Lightning game's over, I will be switching over to
I know it's like been a big thing, mm-hmm. like all over Tampa sports radio and stuff like that. Like the Rays play,
yeah,
the Lightning
all
play,
three
the Bucks
are playing.
Play. Who? And I'm like, oh, I'm Lightning all the way. Don't worry about that.
No, the majority will be the Lightning for me. Yes, there will be a couple flipovers during commercial breaks, but other than that, you know,
maybe I'll do that during the intermissions, but
yeah,
I don't really.
Go. So yeah, big day for Tampa Bay sports. And, you know, just to wrap up, because let's see, we're 32 minutes, Dory.
Awesome.
Yeah. So we got some feedback on my fish tank. Cause you know, this is very important news.
Y'all went wild with the fish tank.
Y'all went crazy. So, Chris Blackman messaged and, said that, go outside the Lightning in old school. How about Gordie Howe or Bobby Hall? And I was like, all good ones. Let's hope I can keep these guys alive. And if that doesn't go well, I'll start pulling names like hockey legends, like Lemieux, Howe, Bobby, Gretzky, etc. Look, I'm not sure how long I'm going to be able to keep these fish alive. I don't know. This is a maiden voyage here. But I'll have a lot of names to pull from. But right now I want to pull from the current Lightning roster just because of, you know, the bubble hockey kind of thing and all that and what we're dealing with. So thank you, Chris, for the conversation. It was nice to talk to you. And then some other people messaged as well, didn't they? Oh, I had one guy, J.A. Kovias. I'm sorry, it's early. He said the fitting would be to get your next fish that you're going to name maroon, get him the color maroon.
I don't even know if that's possible.
I don't know. We'll have to see. I'll have to go to the fish store and be like, can I have a maroon fish, please? So right. I'm gonna try. I'm going to see what I can do. All right. And then we had somebody on Twitter too, right?
Yeah. It's Diamond Joe.
Hey, what's up, Diamond Joe?
I know. I felt like he's like,
he's like our number one fan.
On Twitter. He really is.
Friends and family here now.
He had a really good one. He said it would probably make sense to name the fifth fish after Pointer because you would have all five positions covered, one for each fish at that point. No pun intended.
I like it. Well, the three fish are still alive. So that's good news. So we're almost at a week and they're still alive. So I've killed like four plants since quarantine. So like, this is a big deal for me. So we'll see what happens. But
you just feed them. You just dump the food
in. I gotta feed them now, actually. So, you know, it's fun. I talked to my fish. I was yelling at my fish last night during the game.
Maybe you shouldn't do that. I think they're probably
Bassie,
a little fragile.
Stop the puck! He's like, why are you yelling at me? I'm just a fish. Okay. Rachel is CT, whatever my name is officially losing her mind. So, all right, Dory, anything else you want to say before we go?
Nope.
All right. Dallas, Vegas play tonight. And we find out Julien Brisebois is the GM winner. And then tomorrow, 3:00 on NBC, major network, not USA Network this time, major network for the Lightning game four. Game four. So we'll see what happens. In the meantime, hit us up on Facebook or Twitter and let us know if there's something you want us to talk about or if you want us to stop talking about the fish or maybe just keep it to a 10-minute episode. I don't know. Tell us what you think. We want to know. We need feedback. And also leave us a review and rating on wherever you listen to this podcast. And yeah, gamemisconduct.com for anything you've missed. We will catch you next time, and go Bolts!
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.